This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is iFanboy Media Splode, episode 24, the TV show game. Welcome to iFanboy Media Splode episode 24. It's going to be a weird one. My name is Connor Gilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
I disagree that it's weird. I think it's going to be great.
And Ron Richards.
Embrace the chaos, my friends. Embrace the chaos.
So this is the iFanboy Media Splode show. It was unlocked by the patrons at patreon.com/iFanboy, where they unlocked this show and the Talk Splode show, the Book Splode show, all kinds of shows that you hopefully enjoy or unlocked by the patrons. So thank you for that. It's our monthly non-comics media discussion show. And we're going to play a little game this month. We're going to tell you all about that when we get to it. We've never played it before. We've made it up on the spot. Who knows how it'll go?
There was some thought put to it.
Yeah, I'm not saying we made it up this moment. We made it up on the spot this morning.
There was more thought put into this than anything we've done in years.
Months.
That's years.
All right, so before we get to the game, we're going to talk about some things we enjoyed, as we always do. We'll try not to spoil stuff, but there may be spoilers, so just be cautious. I'll just roll the wheel, and Josh, you start this month, and tell us what you've been enjoying lately.
I'm back on ER again.
Like you say it like you're relapsing.
Well, the last time that this happened, which I think was 2016, possibly 17, like it was a year. Basically, I watched it every day while I was working. You know, not like 8 hours a day, but for a year.
All right.
I think, or the better part of it anyway. I think I know I started in January and like it was like late fall when I was like finished the series again. So this would be the third time I've gone through it. And what happened was, here's what I like to do. During the day, when I have to like do the busy work part of work, in order to not get distracted, I'll put a television show on that I kind of know that I don't have to pay a ton of attention to, and that stops me from being distracted by other things. But it has to be compelling. Like, I have to pay. It's a very fine line. So I had run out of things. I couldn't figure out what to do next. I went through a bunch of series. And I
like all your rules.
Well, no, it's difficult to explain to people because, like, it has to be compelling enough, but not so much that, like, I can't do subtitles. I can't do something, you know, really in depth and really not usually something new that you have to. Anyway, whatever. So I was like, I'll throw on the ER pilot. And right away, I'm in. And like, not only am I in for like hanging out like at night when like we're trying to figure out what to watch, I was like, well, we could just watch ER. So we're only like, it's only ER right now. I don't know what else is happening. I'm near the end of season three. I am not bored. I am compelled as much as I have ever been. Every time I go back in, I get to play the game of, hey, look, it's that guy before they were famous, which is my favorite thing. When you watch late 90s, early 2000s things and you see people. And I have found more that I didn't see last time. Mrs. Mack had a very tiny role from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Hold on for a second. I think the people should know.
People got to know.
When ER was originally on, Ron and I were huge fans and watched it in the beginning, but you only came on the very end.
Yeah, I think I want to say I watched the last two seasons as live. They aired.
I thought it was only the last season.
I think it was the last season. I will confess Connor, that I was late to the game. My first episode was the George Clooney saving the kid in the river episode. Was that episode three or season two?
If it's not the finale of season one, it's either late season one or early season two.
That was my first episode. I actually saw that at my now wife's house.
He had a Camaro.
But Josh, my point is this. You watched all 15 seasons in the course of like, I want to say like 3 or 4 months.
No, it was more than that.
It might have been longer than that. But you caught up. You caught up to very. It wasn't the whole season. It was like you caught up for like the last half of the season.
I don't remember the detail of that. What I do know is that I was getting the discs from Netflix, and we were watching them, my wife and I, and she had watched it a little earlier. I didn't watch any drama, pretty much ever, until much later. Like I watched no drama shows like all through high school or college or. It wasn't really until I'd say that Connor started me watching Oz at some point, and then I probably started watching The Shield, and so around the 2000s, I want to say.
Well, in the 2000s, you watched Shield, you watched Sopranos, you watched
early 2000s was when I started. But then even that stuff, there was no network dramas until later because I was a snob.
Well, you watched The West Wing?
No, not till later. I watched that all on disc. I never watched it in single episode on TV. Yeah, and the Netflix was sort of, but it took years to go through Netflix because at a certain point we got to the end of the discs that they had and we had to wait for them, like to put on more seasons. And I remember that happened. So it was a while because it wasn't streaming, so it was like you really had to like space it out.
I would like to, for the record, the episode I'm referring to about saving the kid in the storm dream is season 2, episode 7, Connor.
Season 2.
November 9, 1995. Sorry, I knew it wasn't season 1 because I knew it because I was back. It was the whole season. Yeah. I didn't see season 1 until years later.
I mean, it's about the most perfect pilot you could possibly.
Yes, like, it's perfect.
It's feature length long. Every character is like.
Well, because it was written that way, you know. It was written as a feature script. So it was,
makes
it's,
sense.
It's a full story.
But I think what's interesting is that a lot of times a pilot. Many times, most times maybe, the pilot is not indicative of what the show eventually becomes because they're still finding their way around. But right away, all the characters who the characters are, it's got all of the things that you like about the show later. It's like a perfect, and it goes from there. And somebody was like, oh, is there a part that's good or bad? And I was like, it's all good.
Like, and by the way, Michael Crichton doesn't get enough credit.
I don't believe so.
John Wells produced the show, but like Michael Crichton, the extremely popular author who wrote Jurassic Park and a lot of other really popular books, also wrote that, created the show.
Yeah.
Is that a case of where you think his other successes overshadow his success with ER?
I think it's a combination of that, plus he wasn't the TV guy. He said in an interview that he would go into the writer's room, and eventually they were like, why do you keep showing up? And he's like, oh, right, I guess I'm not involved.
Yeah. He wasn't really.
But he created those characters. I mean, those are all his characters.
Yeah.
You know?
On certain things, though, with like especially with long-standing TV shows, if the creator isn't the guy who's there, then I think that their importance drops off. Also, back then, I think we paid less attention to show creators, I'm thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really good still. It's incredibly compelling, and it serves exactly that. And I'm not, you know, this is third time. I'm not even close to bored of it yet. And it's one of those things like when you watch something you love and have seen several times, every time you can kind of just marvel at like how good like the actors are, you know, like, and so many of those people never really did much after that. And so you're just like, well, I guess Peter Benton is his legacy, but it's fascinating.
Remember when we said we were going to go fast on this segment?
I realized.
You set the tone, Josh.
I know.
I'll go really fast then for mine.
I can go really fast for mine too.
You set the tone, Mark.
Last month I talked about Sunday shows. I can't remember if it was last month or the month before, how Sunday was back. One of the shows I forgot to mention on that episode was Killing Eve, which was also on Sunday and just finished its run. It had its series finale just this past week.
Is that the with What's-Her-Face from Grey's Anatomy?
With Sandra Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Created by Phoebe Waller-Bridge,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, well, Jesus. Let me get to all these things I'm about to say. So well, the first season was terrific. Phoebe Waller-Bridge was the showrunner, writer. It had this great quirky energy and humor. It was a really terrific season one.
Wait, I'm sorry. You said it aired. It airs?
Yes.
What's it on?
AMC. Well, BBC America, AMC airs it also. It's all, yeah, it's on Sunday night on BBC America. And so then season two was not as good as season one. Season three was not as good as season two. It got worse and worse and worse as it went along to the point where this final season was dreadful. It was convoluted. This finale was a disaster. This show is a prime example of you had a really great miniseries idea. And then as soon as that idea ended and their creator left, it's a hit. Now? Wins a bunch of Emmys. It's got critical acclaim. It's got to feed the beast. The problem is there was nothing to feed it. They didn't know what to do with the characters. The mythology got convoluted to the point where they just sort of ignored it at the end. And that was frustrating as a viewer. So it was just kind of like a disaster of a final season. It held on because the actors were really good and the characters were really fun. And occasionally something really interesting would happen. But for the most part, it was just like, it finished it. I was like, well, what was the point of that? It should have just ended season one. Season one was terrific. Just watch season one as a miniseries. Killing Eve got a lot of press and a lot of praise for season one. And all of it was deserved. But it got worse and worse and worse.
I can't tell. Do you like the show or you don't like the show?
Season one was terrific.
So you just watched season one.
So you came here to talk about how it got bad.
Yeah, I wanted to mention it. It ended this past weekend. The show had the series finale.
And you watched it all the way through?
Yeah.
Got it.
You didn't like it. You watched it for another how many seasons?
I would say that perhaps I was not in control of the remote control.
Well, I mean, this is a deeper problem that we probably should address in length on the show.
We don't have time for this one.
There were things about it that were enjoyable, but if you ask me, I think season one was the only season that was really worth watching.
It was weird how, at the end of it, Meryl Streep yelled that she had such doubt. I didn't see that coming.
It was a little strange, just to be honest, because part of the show is about like these quirky Russian assassins and their quirky Russian handlers, and I was like, I'm not in the mood for quirky Russian, government.
Anything, era. Yeah, it's a rough theme, yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not so funny now.
Not so funny now, is it?
Worth mentioning, but the first season was pretty groundbreaking in terms of, it was these two characters who were women and they fell in love and they were the main characters and spies and, very unusual what you see in TV and very funny and interesting, but just they didn't know what to do after that. And they just got, every season had a different showrunner.
Jeez, that's a good sign. Before I get to my pick, Connor, you triggered something for me, which I thought, would you agree that from, 40s, 50s onward, Nazis were always the universal best villain in a TV or movie or anything like that, right? Like, at what period? Yeah. What period? Like, I don't know, and I don't know because I wasn't around for World War II. But what? Like, how long? How much time had to pass after World War II before that was okay, or was that an immediate thing?
I think they were the bad guys
immediately. Immediately, yeah, right?
Like in the 30s, before,
during, and after.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And I just feel like that's a fascinating phenomenon that would never happen again.
Well, it's a much more globally connected world, so...
Right, yeah.
I mean, kind of happened with Arabs, but that was very uncomfortable and wrong.
But also... Right, but that wasn't nice.
I know. It wasn't if you're German.
You had, like, a sitcom that took place in a concentration camp. Like, right, that wouldn't happen.
Right, like, what?
That was, 20 years later, which ain't that long now that we...
And you also had, like, the producers of Springtime for Hitler and things,
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think there was a different mindset amongst a lot of the Jewish performers in Hollywood at the time to lampoon them as opposed to...
I mean, the other thing is that if you think about it at the point in the 60s, like, a lot of those showrunners had probably been in that war and fought.
Yes.
And right, and they wanted to make theirs, yeah.
Well, no, it's the feeling that they had, and then also, like, they were the objective evil. Like, we don't get that a lot.
Right.
You know, like it's very, I've done the reading. There's not a lot of defense for Nazism. there's not
you've checked the receipts, right?
There's a lot of wars that we fought with countries that are poorer or less educated or whatever. Yeah. And then, it's like this. There's nothing. Like, they were sad about World War I.
Right. Well, what I find interesting is that like there's not a lot of gray area. Like, for example, I know we don't talk about comics on this show, but my son is getting very into superheroes, and there's a lot of and is clear on the is he a good guy or a bad guy? Like, that's the question I get all the time. And Yes. Just in fact, just this evening at bedtime, he asked me, "Is Namor a good guy or a bad guy?" Oh, and I said, "Well, oh, that's complicated."
With that heavy sigh?
Yeah, with that heavy sigh.
If you were like most other dads, actually, I don't, tell me right now, I don't know what the answer is. I have no idea. Depends on the weather.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so my pick, Nazism aside, Nazis as villains. So I'm watching on Hulu because I just love this story so much, the dramatic adaptation of the best crash and burn history in Silicon Valley, The Dropout. It's called The Dropout on Hulu. It is the adaptation of the podcast of the same name, The Dropout, which is about the rise and fall of Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos, of which...
You like that one more than you like WeWork?
I haven't watched WeWork yet. That's next.
I'm saying in general, your favorite... collapse.
Oh yeah, yeah, The Theranos collapse is way more interesting to me than the WeWork collapse. The WeWork collapse is that guy was full of it from day one, right? But like the
creepiest dude played by the creepiest actor,
right? Exactly. And I'll likely be talking about WeWork next month because we're going to watch that after we finish The Dropout. But this 8-episode miniseries, Amanda Seyfried is playing Elizabeth Holmes. She's doing fine. The voice, yada yada. Like, the first 4 episodes were directed by Michael Showalter.
Yeah, I think it's his show.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, no, I'm on episode 6 or 7 at this point. Now we're almost done, but like now he's not directing the episodes, but he's not the showrunner. Elizabeth Merriweather is the showrunner who did the podcast also.
All right, she did New Girl.
It's just a blast, and I want to go watch the HBO documentary again because it's just such a shit show. It's just so great. You can't make it up. So much fun. So, so that's what I've been watching. Cool. The Dropout on Hulu.
All right, so that's what you've been enjoying. Now it's game time.
Game time. All right, so here's the deal. Normally when we play on the show, we're like, oh, okay, we're going to talk about what we watched, and what's our big topic? What are we going to discuss? And Connor, you made an astute observation about this moment in time where we're at currently. What moment in time are we at in terms of media?
Or, you know, it's the spring dead zone.
Yep. Grey's Anatomy just went on, like, new episode won't be back until May. So I got to wait weeks now.
And there's just usually, you know, February, March, April. It's not a lot out in the theaters. We're back in the sort of the pandemic. We're not going to shows. And so it was either, you know, we could do another mailbag or we could play a game.
So I said, hey, let's play a game. So we were talking about it and I walked out to the kitchen to get a water. And what actually spurred the thought, Josh, was a comment you made where Josh was like, well, I guess we could talk about sports if you guys want to talk about baseball and I'll talk about basketball. And like that was the last thing I read in our chat when I went out to the kitchen to go get a glass of water. And I was like, yeah, I guess we talk about sports. I was like, you know, it was fun when we did like that fantasy baseball thing with like a fantasy draft with G.I. Joe and Star Wars. Like that was fun. And then I was like, what if we did it with TV? And so I went back to my computer and I'm like, what if we did like a fantasy baseball with TV? And Josh said, I literally don't know what that means. And then I was like, I don't know. We could just take turns and pick TV shows. And then the TV game was born. So here are the rules and the details. Basically, the three of us are programming our own television network. Okay?
Which is already... anachronistic concept.
Right, exactly. A lot of this is very much based in the 90s, like most of what we do. But you could say we're also planning our linear streaming service. You could say that, Josh. But anyway, so we're planning our own TV network, and our inventory is every available TV show that's ever come out. Okay, so imagine that there's just a library. There are binders on the conference room table of just TV show after TV show. They all exist, complete runs.
Binders
full of shows, and it is up to us to program our own television network. And so the goal of this is to program it so that it's not only successful in both ratings and popularity, but also critical reception. So like all the mix. We're not here to make our dream TV channel. So Josh, don't do like Band of Brothers. Like it's not all of your show. Like it's not like Josh's dream channel or Connor's dream channel.
Band of Brothers, that's a mini series, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, you can do a mini series.
Anyway, but the idea.
Wait a minute.
Like I promise you, mine is not like all 90210.
You just suggested that Band of Brothers is some niche thing that only I like.
It's like the most popular thing they've ever done.
Maybe. But I meant it in the context of like stacked with all the niche things that you like. That's what I meant. Yes.
Well, maybe that's how he's going to program
maybe,
it.
Yeah, maybe.
I can, listen, a lot of networks have failed because of shit. Like, that's why I'm not a network executive.
Right, exactly.
This game exists in this nebulous time where we are now, but also we're programming this as if it's 1993 and we have to fill the time slot.
Exactly. So we've got to. So the thing is, we'd also want this to go on for hours. So what we're doing is we're going to be programming Thursday night through Sunday night. From 8 p.m. until 11, right? So 3 hours of television, okay? And essentially, in order to keep things moving, each quote-unquote pick will be for 1 hour of that evening. So it can be, you know, so when Connor, when your turn is up, you can pick one hour television show or 2 30-minute shows, right? Okay. All you got to do is fill in an hour for that thing.
Okay.
There'll be 10 rounds total, right? Yep. So essentially what we're each doing is making 10 total picks, and if you're doing the math there, that's basically three of the nights plus a little bit more. We've got a little bonus pick going on here because let's be honest, everybody goes out Saturday, right? Ratings are down on Saturday. So Saturday night is only one pick, and that is for the movie of the week. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to pick any movie to program during the movie of the week. Of movies that were released from 1990 or before that, because we figure 1990 is when the network stopped doing the movie of the week.
No, they kept doing it for longer than that.
I know, but that we put a stake in the ground. So you can program any movie from 1990 or earlier as the Saturday night movie of the week. So as we do this, we're going to go, you know, okay, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, we each make a pick.
Hold on. Whoa, I thought we just pick a show and we can place it anywhere in the schedule.
Well, no, but we're going to go in each slot in the schedule. We need some organization here.
But that's hard because I don't know what it's going to be. It depends on what show I get. I thought it was like you pick a show and then you can place. You fill it a hole in the schedule.
I thought we're doing like Thursday night 8 o'clock go.
What Ron said.
Yeah, we need some.
That's why you have to. Yeah. You can't stack. You're trying to build something, so you're going to look with the available blocks what you can do.
As Josh mentioned, we're making this up as we go, so bear with us here.
Tell them the big news.
The big news is that
it's not really big.
I don't know what the big news is. I know. Okay, go Connor.
So this show comes out on Thursday. This coming Saturday is our patron hangout, our monthly patron hangout. The patrons are going to vote on whose schedule is the best.
That will decide the winner of this game. So go to patreon.com/ifanboy, sign up today, watch the hangout this Saturday, and you could get involved. You could pick who wins. So let's get started because we have killed too much time now. We're going to be going in a snaking draft order. So whoever gets the first pick will not pick again until the sixth round, So it goes first, second, third, third, second, first, like that kind of order. Okay. So we're going to generate a random number, which I'm not going to look at, between 1 to 10, and whoever's closest wins. Okay.
That's not enough numbers.
What?
There's three of us are picking, or is it just four?
Yeah, so whoever's closest. All right, so everybody pick a number, and then I'll hit generate, and we'll go from there. So
wait, I'm sorry, what's the range?
From 1 to 10.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I'll go first.
All right, Josh, pick your number.
7.
Connor?
2.
And I'm going to go with 9. And the number was 9. So I've got the first
thing.
I literally, to be honest, I was being straight. I was covering my hand over the monitor. So
as it goes, Ron, so, Josh, me.
Who? Yeah, it goes Ron, Josh, Connor. That's
and then I get 2 picks.
So you get 2 picks, correct? Yeah. Okay. So I get the first pick for Thursday at 8 o'clock, huh? All right. Yeah. So let's dive right in. I'm going to pick Seinfeld. All right.
So you get a second.
Oh, yeah, then I get a second pick, yes. And so then in the second part of that block,
fuck,
I am going to go with The Simpsons.
Well, that was my...
And I'm done. Josh, you're
up. You sorted out my initial strategy.
Thursday at 8 o'clock. Wait, I actually might swap the two. I'm going to start with The Simpsons and then Seinfeld. So.
Okay.
Josh?
All right, Family Ties and The Wonder Years.
Wow, good ones. I didn't have Family Ties, but Wonder Years was on my list.
I had Wonder Years.
Oh, by the way, important to say that once someone picks something, you can't take it, obviously.
Yeah.
So, nice lineup there.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to go with I Love Lucy.
Oh, that was on my list too, you son of a bitch.
At 8 o'clock, yeah. And Friends at 8:30.
It's a solid block. All right.
And then, oh, I go again.
Yep.
So 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
All right, then I'll go with Cheers at 9.
He's doing. You're following the classic Thursday night sitcom block.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's good to know. It's just, there's strategy here.
Yeah.
Cheers, and then, you know what? I'll do Sex and the City.
Wow, our first cable show. All right, Josh, you're up Thursday night at 9.
Taxi.
Wow.
The US Office.
Good.
Taxi in the U.S. Office. Good choices.
Very good.
Jim Rohn.
All right. I am going to go, and I'm going to go for 30-something.
Ooh, good job. All right, so then...
I go again.
Josh goes again, right?
No, now I go. It's snaking, so...
All right, you go again. That's right.
So now 10 o'clock on Thursday nights.
Jerk.
I'm going to go for... how do I do this? I'm going to go Twin Peaks.
Ooh. Josh?
Josh, you're up at 10 o'clock.
I'm going to go with ER.
That's what I thought Ron was going to go for.
Me too.
I gave it to Josh.
All right, then I'm going to go for...
Better than COVID.
I'm going to go for Columbo.
Nice. I like this game. All right. So to recap before we move on, and Connor will have the first pick for Friday night. But for Thursday night, if you tune into Connor's TV show, you're watching I Love Lucy at 8, Friends at 8:30, Cheers at 9, Sex and the City at 9:30, followed by Columbo at 10.
Quality night of television right there. Right. Covering the gamut, by the way.
And if you're tuning into Josh's channel, you're watching Family Ties and the Wonder Years from 8 and 8:30. Then at 9 o'clock, Taxi. 9:30, The Office US, and then 10 o'clock ER. And then for my channel, at 8 o'clock is The Simpsons, followed by Seinfeld, and followed by 30-something, and then Twin Peaks.
All right,
so Connor, first pick Friday, 8 o'clock.
Quantum Leap.
I knew you were going to take that, son of a bitch. All right. Josh?
Look at my list here again, because I'm sort of working. I'm gonna go with Hill Street Blues.
Nice.
All right.
Oh, that's more like a 10 o'clock show, but that's fine.
I'm not following those rules.
That's fine.
I'm just going for a block of TV. Also, I mean, we're talking about Friday night. These shows are all dead in the fucking water.
All right.
They didn't used to be, but that's fine.
So
in the 90s, those are still all right.
At 8 o'clock, you can tune in and watch Behind the Music.
Oh,
whoa.
Which is a half hour.
I like what you're doing here.
Followed by
The Real World, right?
The Match Game.
And
not the more recent Match Game, the classic 70s.
The classic one.
Yeah, yeah. Match Game.
Wow.
All right. So then at 9 o'clock, I'm going Three's Company. And then at 9:30, I'm doing Batman from 1966.
Sweet.
I saw that, and I was like, I'm not going to do that, but I bet that could happen.
I got to tell you, I know we're not supposed to be doing our TV show for our TV channel for ourselves, but like Ron in 1983, he's home on Friday night watching that. And he's like, whatever this Behind the Music show is, it's fantastic.
They should make this.
All right. Josh,
9 o'clock Friday.
9 o'clock Friday. I'm going to go with Friday Night Lights.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. I'm going to go with The X-Files.
Good, very good. All right, The X-Files. All right. Connor, Friday night at 10 o'clock.
Oh, right. Friday night at 10 o'clock. Then I'm going to do Game of Thrones.
Wow.
My Friday night sci-fi fantasy night.
I like it.
Programming.
You're making my VCR work overtime, Connor. All right, Josh, you're up for Friday night at 10 o'clock.
Band of Brothers.
Right. You can. It's a miniseries.
I thought you said I could.
No, you can. It's a miniseries.
I thought you ruled. Oh, that's fine. I'll take it off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
All right.
Sopranos.
All right. That's fair. And my Friday night, 10 o'clock, is Star Trek.
Nice.
Is that,
I almost remember
that's
that.
That's an hour long.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right.
I thought about trying to do a Star Trek block of all this.
Oh, I thought about it too. So. All right. All right. Now.
No. I just the earnestness with which you said that needs to be remarked upon.
It was also a little guttural too.
Like, yeah. It was a little.
A little sexual.
Oh yeah. All right.
Like you might have been talking about sheer stockings.
All right, so to recap Friday night, if you're tuning into my TV channel on Friday night at 8 o'clock, you're seeing Behind the Music, followed by The Match Game, followed by Three's Company at 9 o'clock, and then Batman at 9:30, and then you're rounding it out at 10 o'clock at Star Trek. I just realized I have an hour and a half of 1960s television, but so still.
You know what, though? That doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. No, it's timeless.
I don't think you're not programming this for a 30-year-old today.
Right. No, exactly.
It's not what's happening here.
Because
if you were a television historian and you knew this stuff front to back and you had a useless degree in this thing.
Well, because I got to say that if I'm going to win this game, booking the Match Game at 8:30 on Friday night hosted by Gene Rayburn is the way to go.
Have you guys already decided that we're going to do Monday through Wednesday at some point?
Yes.
Because I have.
All right, so Josh's TV channel on Friday night at 8 o'clock starts off with Hill Street Blues. Was that the one with Howie Mandel?
No, that was
St. Elsewhere. I always got those two mixed up. Which one was Which one was the snow globe?
St. Elsewhere.
Okay, got it. That's the anyway.
They are connected, though.
Right, they are, right?
I'm not...
Yeah,
universe,
okay,
yeah.
Thank you, yeah.
They're all inside that boy's head.
Yep. All right, so Friday, 8 o'clock is Hill Street Blues. 9 o'clock is Friday Night Lights. Followed by 10 o'clock, The Sopranos. The solid hour-long dramas quality, Friday night. Yeah. Quality. While Connor's channel zeroes in on the sci-fi fantasy with Quantum Leap at 8 o'clock. Followed by The X-Files at 9 o'clock. Followed by Game of Thrones at 10 o'clock. All right, well, gentlemen, now it is Saturday night, and it is time for the movie of the week.
I thought we were doing that last.
Oh, do you want to do it last?
Let's do it here. Doesn't matter.
It's
a break.
All right. So I had the last pick with Star Trek, right? So I do the first pick. So mine, Saturday night movie of the week, get the whole family together, sit around the TV, because it is the annual showing of The Wizard of Oz.
Interesting.
Mm. Okay, I see where you're going with that. Huh. I like that.
Remember it was an event when The Wizard of Oz was on?
Yes, I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So there you go.
The Towering Inferno.
Wow!
Wow!
Everybody's in it. It's an event.
True. It's
like,
true.
Like if you didn't have access to video, like you'd go, like you, everybody would be so excited to watch that. Connor, just do the day after. Do it. See, that's I have a degree in TV joke.
It is.
I'm gonna do the newly retitled Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wow. Isn't it just the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, they've renamed them all the movies Indiana Jones and the...
Right. Well, I mean, for this case, you just call it Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's fine. I agree. I'm just filling up more of the stuff.
All right. So on a Saturday night, you have three choices. You can tune into Connor's channel to see Raiders of the Lost Ark, or Josh's to see The Towering Inferno with Ernest Borgnine.
And Steve McQueen and Paul Newman.
Everyone.
Or Fun for the Whole Family with
Fred Astaire was in it.
With the annual viewing of The Wizard of Oz on my channel.
I tell you, that's good programming.
That's really good, yeah.
Because there's something for everybody there.
There really is.
Ages, adventure, you know, like. Yeah.
I thought about, we've already done our picks, so they're locked in, but I thought about The Godfather, because I feel like that was another sure, event. Well,
Yeah.
So,
well, any movie.
Forever.
Right.
I mean, people who are significantly younger than us don't understand that. What a big deal it was when a blockbuster film showed up on Sunday night on NBC.
Yep.
Because that was the only way to watch it since it was in the theater. Yep. Like,
I remember. You said Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's one of the first ones I remember. Like, oh, that's on. We have to watch that.
Yeah.
And I got a big number. Like people, when The Last Crusade came on TV on Sunday night, it was like 20 million people watched it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Edited with commercials. All right.
All right. So here we are. This went much faster, by the way, than I thought it would. Because
all that planning.
We should have spent a little more time explaining the rules. But
we still have voting. We got to vote by night.
Oh, are we voting consensus. Or the, everyone?
We have our own voting. Yeah. We all.
Yeah.
The patrons are voting. All
right.
So Sunday night.
They are, but we're going to come up with our own consensus. It probably won't match.
Right. I'm so confused. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Sunday night, Connor, you're up at 8 o'clock.
The Muppet Show.
Oh, it's a good one.
I feel like I didn't get a first choice on any of these.
You never did, no, because you're
in the middle.
You're in the middle. You're always in the middle.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the snake works.
Yeah. If we had more people in the game, you'd have a higher or lower. Yeah.
Is this method is used?
Fantasy baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a snaking draft.
I get it. You said the word. Now I understand the word.
Right.
Oh man, the problem is all the shows that go well with the Muppet Show have been picked.
I mean, there you got options, but I mean, here's the thing. This is the strategy of programming: is that do you go thematically, you know, or do you just plug stuff in and not worry about, you know, abandonment? You know,
like, well, this has to do with if we vote on these at the end, who did the best night?
Right.
That's where that's going to come into it because Connor is going to have different views than me or you.
I'm going to go with a show that doesn't seem like it, but is kind of thematically similar in 30 Rock.
Wow.
It's kind of
I see how those relate.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so then Josh, you're up next.
I've got Happy Days and Arrested Development.
Wow. Mm. What's the through line there?
Family.
Or?
Yeah, one going one way, the other going the other way.
And this guy's like, I don't know.
Or Ron Howard.
There you go. I didn't even think of that. That's even better. It wasn't.
All right. I am going to... Oh, man, this is tough. This is tough, 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 tough. I'm going to go 60 Minutes.
I mean, that's when it's on.
Personifies Sunday night for me with the ticking and the watch, and there's your news show, right? There's your kind of
good choice.
And then so that's my 8 o'clock pick, and then I go again at 9 o'clock, and I will follow that with MASH and the Larry Sanders Show.
Ah,
so there you go. There's 9 and 9:30, MASH and the Larry Sanders Show.
Good choices.
Josh is up next.
I got the West Wing.
Oh, wow. I like to say that over dinner, my wife predicted that.
That was going to be my choice if I was next.
Well, this is what happens.
I held it.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yep.
So it's my turn.
This is exactly what was supposed to happen with this draft.
I need a 9 o'clock show.
I need a 9 o'clock Sunday night show. This is an enormous time slot, Connor. I got to tell you, we got advertisers lined up. What are they going to be buying against?
If you fuck this up as a programming executive, you're not coming back the next season.
I'm going to go with NYPD Blue.
Wow. Truly an event.
We have two Milch shows.
And then do I go again?
No, you go again. I go last.
Then my 10 o'clock Sunday show is Mad Men.
Ah, classic time slot right there.
Ironically, the show with nudity comes on at 9.
But it's butts. Men's butts.
A lot of butts. Side boobs.
All right. So, Josh, your
Dr.
last
Lewis
pick now.
Is on that show.
What a sip of its nudity.
That's what the world needed.
Well, we're going to have to put The Wire in here.
All right. There you go. All right. So, the last pick at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. Coming out of the Larry Sanders Show, I'm going to go Knight Rider.
Oh.
You're mad you didn't think of that, right?
No, I'm mad that I was looking through my things and I forgot to write down the A-Team because I was going to put it somewhere.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
When you said Knight Rider, I remembered the A-Team. Yeah. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
That might be a mid-season replacement depending on how things go on.
All right, so Sunday nights, if you're tuning into my channel, at 8 o'clock you get 60 Minutes, followed by MASH, followed by The Larry Sanders Show, followed by Knight Rider. Oh, mishmash. Then for Connor's TV channel, at 8 o'clock, it's The Muppet Show, followed by 30 Rock, followed by NYPD Blue, followed by Mad Men.
Honestly, the 30 Rock and The Muppet Show go together wonderfully.
That's pretty good,
more I think about it.
And then 30 Rock, let's do the analysis later on. And then at Josh's channel, 8 o'clock is the Happy Days, just Happy Days, followed by Arrested Development at 8:30. And then at 9 o'clock, it's the West Wing. 10 o'clock hits the wire. So there you have it.
Take a sharp left at 9.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know what the 30 Rock lead into NYPD Blue is there, but still.
they want to just suck the joy right out of you.
So there you have it, my friends. 4 nights of television programmed on our respective channels. Who will all right. win?
All right, so let's just straw poll of things. Who has the best Thursday night?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard because I
think that we all would think our own night is the best night. I was curious.
I gotta be honest. No, if I'm straight up, honest, I am watching my channel. I'm probably taping the Wonder Years in ER on your channel, Josh.
Okay.
And
I love that we're in VHS again.
Yeah. Yes. And Connor, I'm probably taping I Love Lucy and Friends of yours. Like, I don't particularly care for Cheers or Sex in the City. That's my personal watching thing. But I doubt that you guys are into 30-something as much as I am. So, you know.
I bet if I watched it, I'd be like, this is pretty great.
Oh, you should watch it after ER. I don't doubt that. Oh, you should watch it. Oh.
I mean, I'd watch your 8 to 9 slot, obviously. Yeah, those are the two most formative sitcoms of my life.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Connor, thoughts?
Their 10 o'clock block is...
I got to tell you, back in 1996, when you had the, you know, like multiple channels going at multiple at the same time, like the 10 o'clock having to tape one and watch the other, that was the life. It was great.
Do you miss making your grid?
Yes, I do miss making my grid. Clearly, that I subjected the two of you to make a grid with me because I miss making a grid.
Some people have glory days from earlier where they talk about football or, you know, girls they dated. And Ron's like, oh, man, I love taping a show and watching another
one. Listen, I used to, fall TV preview, we would make a grid, and it was... So, Connor, you're I mean, Connor, I'm assuming you're choosing your channel, but would you watch...
No, I mean, they're all... Yeah. There's great stuff all here, you know, all over the place here.
Yeah,
right, we don't even have to score. We're just analyzing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, your 8 o'clock is The Simpsons and Seinfeld. Yeah, that's you know, two of the best.
You won. You win the 8 o'clock block.
Well, it was the first pick. I mean, I couldn't come out with the match game in the first pick. I had to, I had to go strong.
Well, that's your strategy.
Yeah, it's exactly. Fun.
You would have thrown us off. And then obviously, 10 o'clock is 3 of my all-time favorite shows. Yeah, so
Columbo's great. Oh, so good.
It's a solid night. You got to keep Thursday solid because that's when all the networks are selling their movie ads.
Yeah,
exactly. Is Columbo available streaming? Can you, like,
let's find out.
It's on like Hulu or something.
I think it's on Peacock.
That feels right.
Is it on NBC?
Let's see. Columbo.
I always thought it was an ABC show.
Columbo show, 1971, 18 seasons. It is streaming on Fubo TV. Or on their 10th, sorry, Fubo is 2 seasons. 16 seasons available on Tubi, 10 seasons available on Peacock.
Yeah, Peacock. Yeah. There's only like 8 or 9 actual seasons, and then it was all movies of the week. Oh. So they're counting them as seasons, but there was only like 1 or 2 a year.
Got it.
So it was only like 7 full TV seasons.
That's the thing about the first season of ER is that there were 26 episodes, and I was like, Jesus, no wonder they left. 26 hour-long episodes in a year?
Now do we talk about the shows that we forgot to do?
No, you have to save those.
I'll save them for Monday the next episode. Okay, I'll save them. I almost did,
but...
Yeah. Oh, man. Good pick on Columbo.
Hello, Friday. How's
Friday? It's a Friday night. Well, I'm watching Quantum Leap, that's for sure.
There's a lot of shows in here that you two like that I don't really...
Well, I was never a big X-Files fan.
Me neither.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't...
No, for Ron, it is surprising.
That's what I mean. I don't find that surprising.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by it either.
I know we didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I tried to a little bit at the end, but I
Well, that was the wrong time to watch it.
No, I know. I don't even know when it was the end, but because, you know, my...
he means the last 10 minutes of the episode. And he's like, what's going on?
Like, my two roommates, you know, who you guys know, were both very into the show and could talk about it and be like, you should watch the ones that this guy wrote. You know, and... I was like, okay, and they're pretty good, but I ultimately do not care.
What was that guy's name? There was two brothers who were, one of them was really good, yeah. Anyway.
Well, there was one of them who wrote, they were like, he doesn't really like to write them, so he doesn't write a lot, but when he does, they're great. Then the other thing I know is that Rob Cohen wrote, and he's the guy who directed Reign of Fire.
Well, he did the film, right?
Yes, he did that too.
And I went to see that in the theater with them, so I kind of like caught up a little before.
I mean, there was good writers. James Wong, Darren Morgan, Frank Spotnitz. A lot of guys who wanted to make their own shows.
The Breaking Bad guy came from there, didn't he?
Yeah, Vince Gilligan. Yeah, Vince Gilligan was a writer. Howard Gordon, he did Homeland. Like, a lot of people came out of
I think it's safe show. To say that Vince Gilligan's the most successful writer to come out of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Stephen King wrote an episode. Darren Morgan, I think that was the guy, Josh.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, Friday night, if you want to hang out and watch, we got a lot of genre stuff here.
This a lot is of genre, yeah. Friday night genres, Star Trek, yeah.
Game of Thrones, X-Files, Quantum Leap. It's a good night.
All right. I had to get Star Trek. The tough thing with Star Trek was which one.
I don't think that's
you
got to go classic, right? Yeah. All right.
Sunday night.
Are you skipping over the movie? Do we analyze the movie enough? Or? Let's talk about the Towering Inferno for 10 minutes.
Okay. It's the Bank of America building, which is the same one that is the first building to go down in San Andreas.
Oh, there you go. Was that a nod?
And Griffaut? I think so. It might be. It also happened to be directly across the street from where my office was in San Francisco, like directly across the street. So I'm always, you can see that die in two movies.
I just Googled the Towering Inferno and the little info box on the side. This is, you know, the release date. Right, and the director featured song "We May Never Love Like This Again."
I believe it's performed at the party.
Ain't that the truth?
What's the IMDb tagline? I love movies.
William Holden. I mean, Faye Dunaway. Everyone's in this movie.
Everything about it is like over the top.
OJ.
It's fantastic.
OJ Simpson.
Yep.
Here we go. One tiny spark becomes a night of blazing suspense.
Richard Chamberlain, Robert Wagner.
You are there on the 135th floor. No way down, no way out. Here's a good one. The Towering Inferno is not just the story of the world's tallest building in flames. It's the story of people. ..
That doesn't play as well on the poster.
No, it doesn't. All right. Well, yeah.
I haven't watched it in forever. I want to watch it now.
All right. Sunday night. So the Muppet Show was originally on Friday nights at 8, right?
I don't remember.
Because I remember we would get Chinese food and we would sit around the TV and watch it in 1980. Jesus Christ.
You remember that when you were 3?
I do remember. No, I do remember it because we were... I remember it vividly because it was either 1980 or 1981 because it was post Empire Strikes Back because I know that my dad got Egg Foo Young and called it Egg Foo Yoda and said that that's what the Yoda and Luke were eating on Dagobah, and I believed it because I was... three or four. So it's definitely post May 1980, and we were in my old house, which we moved out of in 82. So it's probably more likely 81, but I remember the night.
We were such 80s kids.
I know, really.
Just defined by what shows we watched on what nights. Like, that's what I have. I don't have memories of fucking vacations to Europe.
Yep.
I have this.
Yep.
And it says so much. That's why one of my favorite scenes in TV history is Bill on Freaks and Geeks watching
TV. Yes, that whole thing was great.
You know, after school. It's the greatest scene I've ever seen.
I just looked it up, and The Muppet Show ended on May 23rd, 1981. So it had to have been between May 1980 and May 1981 that memory is coming from. It was on Monday nights.
Did it go into syndication?
No. Let's see.
Because I remember watching it on TV. But not often.
The remainder of the season was fully networked on Friday nights at 7 o'clock. Friday at 7, that's when it was on. On CBS. Wow.
The Muppet Show airs in New York City Monday, I think originally, because it says 1976, it aired Monday at 7:30.
Oh, in 79, it moved to Fridays at 7.
Yeah.
So 4 seasons, that's enough for 100 episodes to get into syndication.
Yeah. It was all done in England.
Really?
Yeah. It was all done in England.
Huh. Were the celebrity guests indicative of that?
I guess. I mean, no, I don't think so.
Interesting. They just got whoever was filming at Pinewood.
Mark Hamill was the best. Oh, God, it was so good. That episode was so good.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take this grid.
Okay.
This coming Saturday at the Patreon Hangout, we're going to propose to the patrons and put a poll up on the screen. Who has the best programming?
Right.
Which network gets your vote?
Let's work this out. We should probably work this out before the live stream, but is it like... best network overall, or are we gonna see best night? You know what I mean?
I think we should go by night, and that would then indicate who had the best network overall.
Well, we can do several polls. Who has the best overall programming, and then which night is the best, and whose night is the best on that night?
Yeah.
Who's programming? We can do that.
Who wins the time slot?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Who has the best 8 o'clock? We can get real granular.
There you go. The Muppet Show was produced and recorded at ATV Elstree Studios, England.
So if you are a patron, and this sounds fun, like you should really show up for this.
You really should. I want to see the biggest patron attendance of this live stream.
And to be fair, like you all showing up does not benefit us in any way
at all,
other than the fact that it makes us happy.
Yeah.
So you show up. I want to see the vote. I want enough voting so that there's, you know, some data there, some real, you know, we can sort of see where the feelings go. And if you are not a patron, I mean, if you were, I don't want to encourage this, but if you were going to jump on for like a month, I think this would be a good one to try it out.
Yeah.
This is the kind of dumb nonsense we talk about on that show.
This is way more organized than the dumb nonsense on that show.
All right.
Don't expect this.
So if you're a patron, this coming Saturday, if you listen to the show right away, this coming Saturday, the hangout, you'll get to vote in various polls we'll do for this, and then we'll see what else we get to do. So we'll be back next month with another Media Splode. In the meantime, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Put Media Splode in the subject line if you want to get an email on the show. We almost did a mailbag show this month, but we did.
Do we have any emails? Can we do an email right now? We got a couple of minutes.
No.
No, we don't have time.
All right, fine. Next time.
But next time. So send those emails in. In the meantime, listen to the Pick of the Week show where Josh and I talk about the week's comics. That's at ifanboy.com. You can also find the Booksplode and the Talksplode shows. That's the collected edition review show and the interview show, respectively, that we do all unlocked by the patrons at patreon.com/ifanboy. You can listen to Ron and all about Android. You're episode 500 now?
By this time has come out, I will have recorded my 500th episode of that show, which is insane.
What are you talking about?
Phones.
On this one.
Android phones. Bezels.
You have like a theme?
Bezels. No, we don't have a theme. It's very news-based, to be honest.
Okay.
I could tell you the
like this week we're talking about Glass.
No, well, if it's in the news, sure. I mean, sure. I've talked about Glass on that show before.
I know.
No, but it looks like the Google and Samsung working with iFixit on a self-repair program. That's one of the things we talked about in the show. OnePlus working on a foldable phone. So things like that.
Do people want those phones?
I don't know. I almost bought a foldable phone, but then I didn't. It's not. It's one generation away. I think the foldables later this year or next year are going to be the ones that break through. I think once Google releases a foldable Pixel, I think that's going to be the bellwether for it.
And we're talking the benefit of that with Android size.
Yeah.
Moving around with it, you know, like
Well, I mean, they fold in different. They fold different ways. There's also, visible. By the way, you might not know this, but there's a whole category of rollable phones, which have a window shade where you pull down, like has a display that rolls out like a rolled up windows.
See, the thing is, you could say these things, and they could be made up. Josh and I would go, "That's cool."
Yeah, that's true. When can I get like an Expanse style hand terminal?
That's all I want. The two things in all technology I want are the Expanse style hand terminal, like the see through glass and like with the projection kind of thing, stuff like that. And then I just want the Star Trek future where there's no capitalism or competition between technology, where like the food replicator breaks and you just fix it. You don't have to worry about what operating system is running.
You know what doesn't exist in the future where there's no capitalism and manufacturing?
The future.
There's not an All About Android show.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
There's not. It doesn't exist. Yeah. Everybody gets the best thing. It's fine.
We'll be back next month. We'll be discussing economic systems and our favorite TV shows. And until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
I'm Josh. That was more fun than it should have been.